And now, from the diamond to the dugout, it's the Twins Nation Podcast. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host.
Hello, Twins Nation. Welcome back to this week. This is Joe, and Matt is here with me as normal. And
hello.
We are some disappointed or angry Twins fans, I would think, this week. Did not have a good week like I was hoping they would. I believe they only won one game. Great. They won on Monday. Yep, and that's it. So they're riding a 5-game losing streak. Sum it up, the hitting has been good, but now the pitching's bad. That's the simplest way to put it lately. At least in one, they haven't really made any errors, but defense probably could have been better in a few spots. And then there was a big mental mistake on Saturday, which we'll get into. But that's kind of summing up with the way this week's gone. Is they haven't had a problem really scoring runs since the All-Star break. But now they're having a problem stopping the other teams from getting runs, which is totally flipped from what the first half was all about.
Yeah, it definitely seems like, like you mentioned before, the team has played. I mean, the team's hitting. Obviously, they are scoring runs. Today probably wasn't a good day of that. But, you know, overall, I mean, everybody's just been playing better. The Royals played pretty darn good this series. I mean, that's probably the best game I've seen them play, best series I've seen them play all year. You know, they haven't swept anybody. And then before when we were playing, help me out, Seattle, right?
Yep,
Seattle. I mean, you know, we knew that was going to be kind of an even match, you know.
Yeah, they're all close games in Seattle, definitely. They were all one or two run games when I'm looking at. Yep. But that's the weird thing is that, facing them, because, you know, we faced them last week too. Those series were pitched as, you know, being teams that are mirror images of each other, same kind of teams, good hitting and no pitching, but they were pretty high scoring games when you think about that.
Yeah. You know,
I was like, what happened to the pitching?
Yeah, I was going to say, other than today's game, I think every game was pretty decently high scoring. There was a lot of offense, but, you know, like I said, I mean, the pitchers just didn't really – pitching just kind of seemed to hurt us this week. So, I mean, hopefully it's not a sign of things ahead, but, you know, hopefully it's just a rough patch and, you know, and things will kind of come together. But then again, we kind of know this team is – They've been like this, that we'll get ahead, get a little bit above 500, build ourselves a nice, okay, decent lead on in the division on Cleveland. And then all of a sudden, it seems like now we're just a half game. I mean, it's just, there's no consistency, it seems like, lately.
Yeah, it's got to be, it's got to be so frustrating for those, players in the front office and Rocco, everybody, because just when you think everything is on the upswing, it's not. So I mean, there was a couple of games that they had leads late in the game that were blown by the bullpen. Just when we were praising Emilio Pagan, he had a blow up on Tuesday, well, at least one bad pitch where he gave up a game tying home run. Giovanni Moran, he's struggling, it seems like, lately. I have a noted here on Tuesday, his outing, he gave up three runs and didn't get anybody out before being taken out. That was a 9-7 loss. Night before that, on Monday, even though they did win, it took extra innings or to the bottom of the ninth, I can't remember, but because Griffin Jacks gave up a two-run homer in the top of the ninth, they had him in to close. Again, I'm guessing Duran wasn't available or something. And then Duran himself on Friday night gave up a walk-off grand slam all of a sudden Bobby Witt Jr. became someone impossible to get out this weekend.
Which, you know, honestly, I mean, he had a great series, and
he is
definitely one of the pieces, future pieces of that team. I mean, hopefully, you know, the Royals don't try and trade him away, but, you know, at any point. But like I said, it's, you know, he is definitely a guy who is somebody that they can build around.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Salvador Perez isn't going to be there forever. And, you know, he's, yeah, he has been there forever already. So, I mean, he ain't going to be able to get there anymore forever.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, guys like him and Vinny Pascantini, who is hurt right now, you know, between him and then you could throw this Garcia kid in, who's been playing pretty good for him. MJ Melendez, you know, who's kind of having not a great season this year, but I mean, that team's got some good young pieces, you know, kind of like Cincinnati and, you know, what Pittsburgh, you know, has, and hopefully they can, you know, in the future be a decent club, you know, so they don't have to sit in the bottom. But yeah, like I said, it just, that team played lights out this weekend against the Twins. I mean, it sucks it had to be against us, you know, to get their first sweep of the year, but you know, it's just, yeah, like I said, Bobby Witt is something else. I like him. He's a good young player to watch.
I'd have to look. I didn't check how many hits he got today, but I believe he got like nine or 10 hits this weekend against the Twins pitching, including that walk-off grand slam. And then, Saturday, he went 4-for-5, another home run. Note here is that there have only been 15 games in which an opposing player had 4-plus hits and 3-plus RBIs. In back-to-back games.
Wow.
Like he did. So we got bullpen blowing up. We got Joe Ryan doesn't look right since he threw his complete game. Maybe he's tired. maybe. Maeda is about the only one who looks good right now as a starter recently. Bailey Ober, he looked good until his last start. He pitched on Saturday and he gave up 6 runs before they took him out. Hopefully that was just a blip on the radar for him, because he's been really surprisingly solid all season. The only thing you worry about with him is he's not is I think he's now surpassed the number of innings he's ever pitched in a season in professional baseball, due to injuries and length of seasons and all that stuff. So it wouldn't be surprising if he's running out of gas, but you got to hope he's not. I'm guessing that's what you're seeing too, is that everything that's just all of a sudden they're struggling pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it's just the bats have kind of come alive. You know, I mean, we're starting to hit the ball. Like I said, we're scoring, you know, some nights we're scoring a lot of runs, you know, and hitting the ball really good, you know, and then there's nights where we're hitting the ball, but we're just not getting the runs. But yeah, right now the most consistent problem has been the starting pitching, other than Maeda, like you had mentioned, and even the bullpen has had its hiccups, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's kind of a tables have turned kind of deal at the moment, you know, so it would just be nice if everything could happen at once. Either everything would be really good at once, or if we want to suck, you know, we might as well let everything suck at once.
Get it over with. That's funny.
That's the best way I can put it.
It's pretty funny. Speaking of the bullpen, there was one. There's been a couple changes. One that meant a player is no longer part of the organization. Twins made a trade this week. Jorge Lopez was traded to the Miami Marlins. They got back Dylan Floro, who honestly I had not heard of until he became a Twin, because I don't watch too many Marlins games. Going by the numbers, just because that's all I really have to go by, looks like Twins maybe got a little bit better end of the deal, although it's pretty even. Both aren't doing that fantastic, but it looks like maybe Floro's like peripheral numbers, or whatever you want to call them, might be a little bit better, and he's just maybe had some bad luck in some situations, which makes his numbers that most regular baseball fans are used to look maybe worse than they probably should. That's what I've read and been shown when they're discussing the deal. And we know that Jorge Lopez has struggled this year pretty much since, well, May or June. He's got an ERA, I think, over 5 now, and he had a issue where they put him on the injured list for mental health reasons, and so maybe he'll be better with a change of scenery at this point, maybe what they were thinking.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I hope, you know, I wish best of luck to Jorge Lopez. I mean, you know, I know he didn't, you know, him up here in Minnesota just didn't work out. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and hopefully everything that he's been going through, you know, hopefully kind of, you know, disappears with, you know, the change of going back down to, you know, going down to Miami. As far as Dylan Floro, I mean, I think we got a, you know, he's a veteran. He's been around a while. He's played with, like I said, he's played with Tampa, Chicago. He's played with Cincinnati. I know he's played with the Dodgers. and then Miami. But he's kind of an even keel guy. He's almost just as good against righties as he is against lefties, which is kind of a strange deal for a pitcher like him. So, and, you know, like I said, he's been around the block a little while. He's had some pretty good seasons. He's had some really decent, solid seasons when he played with the Dodgers in 2018, 19, and 20. He played with the Dodgers, so he was a pretty solid bullpen piece for him. So, yeah, like you said, he's kind of struggled this year in Miami. Hopefully, you know, the change up here will be good for him, and I'm hoping, you know, this isn't the only move that the Twins make. So,
yeah, that's something that'll be interesting to find out. We've said it a few times that this is trade deadline week. Trade deadline day is this Tuesday. So probably most of you will listen to this on Monday, so it'd be the next day. And I believe that if I read it right, time is 5 p.m. our time is when all deals have to be completed to make it in time for the deadline. And that's the only move the Twins have made. But the rest of the league, a few teams have been busy. I don't know how much attention you've paid to any of that. I wrote down them all.
Okay.
I don't know how many of them you want to cover. There are a few.
Yeah, just go ahead and read them down, and we'll kind of go through them. So.
Okay. So ones that would affect. We'll go with the ones that have probably affect the Twins the most. Of course, we've got Dylan Floro. Guardians made a trade with the Dodgers where they got Noah Syndergaard and cash for their shortstop, Ahmed Rosario. I know you texted me. I think you were curious about why the Guardians wanted Syndergaard. Is that or why they get?
Yeah.
Well, you're more curious about why they wanted him or why they gave up Rosario.
I was a little more interested in why they gave up Rosario. I mean, not that, you know, they've had some injuries and in, with their starting pitching this year, so I get going after, you know, a decent pitcher. The question I have is why giving up Amon Rosario so soon? I mean, I know he's having a pretty rough season right now. I mean, I guess I haven't really looked at their depth chart to see who they have playing behind him and who do they plan on, you know, putting in, you know, in his spot. But I mean, it's just weird. I don't know really what to think of that trade because I think they gave up on a really good, decent young shortstop. I mean, he's only 27 years old.
Yeah, and he gave up a franchise player to get him.
Yes.
He was part of the Lindor trade
mm-hmm.
a few years ago. So, yeah, I agree. I'm not sure what exactly they were thinking, but I'm sure I don't know if he's coming up on a contract or or who knows. They have their reasons.
He is signed through this year. His contract is up this year, so.
But maybe.
So he is a free agent next year, so that would make sense. But still, I mean, you know, for a team that's going to try and compete against the Twins, why would you give up on some hitting, something that they have struggled with just as much as the Twins have? I mean, It's just a little confusing. I mean, I could see them going after, you know, you'd want to keep a guy like Rosario, but you'd also want to go after, you know, you definitely want to go after some pitching, but I'm just surprised what they gave up to get the pitching is what I'm surprised about.
Right. And so maybe they are going to shop for a shortstop, or maybe maybe if he's a free agent, maybe they'll just try to re-sign him and end up like it never happened. And they, I don't know. The other bigger one that happened within the division was the White Sox. They sold Lucas Giolito and Reynaldo Lopez over to the Angels for a couple minor leaguers. I woke up to that news the day after it happened. I was a little surprised, but I know the White Sox, they're kind of in full rebuild mode now, because they have another trade we can talk about they did the next day. That being they traded Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly to the Dodgers for a couple more minor leaguers. So they're rebuilding that farm system and just admitting that this year's a lost cause.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, on paper, you know, on paper in our minds that, you know, that you and I had talked about, you know, and even during spring training that, you know, if this team, you know, the White Sox got going, they, you know, with the talent they had, they could have been a real dangerous team to play against this season. And it didn't work, you know, it just didn't come together. And I think the White Sox are doing exactly the right deal. They're kind of falling back, and they are, they're just gonna, like I said, they're gonna just replenish their farm system with some prospects, and, you know, they're just going to kind of start over again. And I'm pretty sure the White Sox aren't done yet. I know I've heard Lloyd Jimenez's name mentioned. I know I heard the Marlins are pretty interested in him, at least. I thought there was a couple other teams, but, you know, I don't think the White Sox are done throwing out players yet. So I'm sure there's going to be a few more coming before the trade deadline.
That'll be interesting. Let's see here. Oh, and then there was this one as well. They traded reliever Kendall Graveman to the Astros. And got a couple of minor leaguers out of that. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, did he play with the Astros already?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
He's been I think it was just last year. He was there. He was kind of the same deal where he was acquired at a trade deadline deal. I believe he was in Seattle, and Seattle fans were kind of upset because it looked like maybe the Mariners were giving up, or they were confused why they would, a team in contention, why are they trading bullpen pieces? So especially to someone within your division. And then this offseason he signed with the White Sox, and now they're trading him to Houston. So that was interesting to me too. The other teams, the other trades, that was it really for, well, there was one tonight that the Royals made. They traded Nicky Lopez to the Braves for a guy named Taylor Hearn. One that just happened probably an hour or two ago.
Yep, an hour ago.
The Angels struck a trade with the Rockies, your second team there. They got a guy they used to have and a guy that the Twins used to have in CJ Krohn. And then they got Randall Grichuk in cash for a couple guys I've never heard of, one named Jake Madden and one guy named Mason Albright. That's those guys are now Colorado Rockies. And then the other teams that have been busy, the Cardinals are starting to sell off. They traded a couple guys and in Jordan Hicks and Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton. Jordan Hicks went to the Blue Jays for a couple minor league arms. And the Rangers got Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton for three players. But the big trade we probably should mention, the Rangers pulled off the blockbuster. They got Max Scherzer from the Mets. And they got a guy with a familiar last name to AL East people. They got a guy named Luis Angel Acuña, who, yes, that is the brother of Ronald Acuña Jr. So now they're on opposing teams.
That's interesting. Yeah, that was a very interesting trade. So, I mean, I mean, you had to know that a lot of these teams were, you know, especially with the Scherzer move, you know, you knew that was going to be coming.
I was surprised that I was more expecting, because there seemed like there was more talk about, there's been more talk about them trading Justin Verlander than Max Scherzer. And I mean, both could, obviously one happened and the other one could happen. Although now it sounds like that might be less likely that Verlander is going to get traded. Still definitely possible though. But yeah, I was just, it's also still not used to the Rangers actually spending all this money, because they've been spending it like it's going to be illegal tomorrow for the last couple of years.
Free
agents and making trades like this. So,
I mean, for me, it's good to see them do it. I mean, I think they've been in the tank enough for a few years where, you know, it's time. They got enough good young players coming up and they can, you know, build with, you know, and obviously add on with some of these really good veterans, you know, and just, you know, and it's so far it's working out. And, you know, and with this trade for Scherzer, I mean, it's going to make them that much better, you know. So it's going to be interesting to watch him. I'm actually, you know, might be an exciting team to watch in the playoffs.
Yeah. That was a little bit of a complicated deal because how much money he's making, and he had a no trade clause he had to waive. They had to work out, who's going to pay what. It sounded like the Mets are going to help out with the money there. And there's just a lot to figure out, obviously. Scherzer, and then one thing, Scherzer could have opted out of his deal after this season, but he decided not to. So he's going to be in Texas for this year and next year. Pending him getting traded again, I guess. But he signed for 2 years now instead of, and he gave up the option of opting out like he had. That's a concession he made to make this trade happen. So very interesting. There was a few other ones that I wrote down, like the Marlins got more bullpen help. They got David Robertson from the Mets, and that's making another trade. and that one was within the division, so that's rare. Carlos Santana, somebody Twins fans probably are familiar with from his days in Cleveland. He's now with the Brewers. We're not even in the crazy time yet. Usually the last 48 hours is when things get real crazy with deals. So could be kind of fun if you like to watch trades and hear all the rumors and stuff. That's gonna be the next 2 days here. So.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a I know I'm going to be looking forward to tomorrow. I actually have, like I said, I got the day off tomorrow for do my final follow-up from my surgery. And
okay.
I know I'm going to have it pretty much glued, or I'm going to be pretty much glued to Twitter when I can. And, you know, like I said, between tomorrow and definitely tomorrow, or definitely Tuesday afternoon, I think things are going to get intense. I mean, I'm pretty sure the White Sox are going to keep selling off pieces. I'm sure the Mets are going to be doing, and then teams that have decided after the weekend whether they're going to be buyers or sellers are going to make their decisions and kind of whether they're going to go after somebody or if they're going to trade away people. And, you know, it's going to be fun. This is kind of one of the fun things about baseball that, you know, that makes this game great, you know, is just, you know, a team that's, mm-hmm. you know, what a team will give up just to get, you know, a really high price player. And, you know, it's just, it's interesting for guys, you know, for people like me, and I'm sure people like you and anybody else who kind of follows the business side and, you know, of the game, instead of just, you know, going there, watching a game and just seeing the few players, you know, it's just how baseball works, you know, as a franchise and how it works with other franchises. It's just interesting. I live for this kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, definitely. It is fun. I don't know if what you've heard as far as rumors, as far as the Twins go, I just read a thing where teams are calling them about, it sounds like Trevor Larnach's a popular name. Teams looking into maybe seeing about acquiring him. You know, Twins, we've documented many times, they have a glut of left-handed hitting outfielders, so that would be a position of strength they can deal from. And, you know, you hate to give away a guy you drafted not that long ago, at least it feels like, but you gotta deal from your strength if you want to strengthen a weakness. So that's the name and, you know, to me, there are a lot more other guys that I would be more upset if they traded than Trevor Larnach, you know? So.
Oh, I definitely agree. I mean, honestly, I'd be okay with trading Kepler, you know, yeah. Which we know, I mean, yeah, he's been hitting better. Yes, but, you know, do teams really want to take if a team decides to say, okay, we'll give him we'll trade for him. I mean, you got to realize you're not going to get a lot back for that. Now a guy like Larnach, you know, who's obviously his ceiling is a lot higher, definitely would get more value out of him in a trade. I mean, yeah, it stinks. I am a Larnach. I like Larnach. I've always enjoyed him, you know, watching him play. And yeah, I mean, it stinks, but that's just part of the, you know, that's part of the business thing. Now, you know, Walner, there's another one. I think Walner out of the three are worth, I think value wise is, you know, is more value than both of those two. And, mm-hmm. you know, if I was the Twins and somebody was shopping, you know, somebody wanted Walner, I'd be asking for the farm for him.
So, it would be the guy you probably least want to trade of those three. And you'd have to be like, you got to give me something real good or for that.
Yeah.
Because he's shown just this weekend, just this last, you know, this week really, he's shown just how hard and how far you can hit a baseball. And just the idea, if he can do that on a consistent basis, you really don't want to give that up because, man, that guy hits some screamers. Yeah, other than that, I guess teams are also calling about, they're calling them about Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda, and because those guys are veterans and they're also scheduled to be free agents at the end of the season. Twins, I guess, are saying they would have to be pretty much blown away to deal them since they're still in contention, but they are listening just to see what they, if they like anything they're offered for them. But they don't expect that they would, you know, guys at this moment in time. But it'll be interesting to see if anything like that changes here in the next 48 hours. But that's the rumors I've been hearing. Reading about the Twins.
I've pretty much heard kind of the same rumors. Like I said, Sonny Gray, Larnick, you know, I mean, I've heard a little bit on Wallner. I know they've thrown out the possibility of, you know, the trading of Polanco, but I think with them moving him to third base, that might be kind of shot down, I think, you know, unless, you know, somebody decides to, you know, give him an offer they can't refuse.
Right.
I just don't think, I think right there, if there's going to be any moves, I think it's definitely going to be Larnick for a right-handed hitting outfielder, corner outfielder, or like I said, I don't want to necessarily say that's what they would get in trade, but I hope that's what they get in trade. The only other thing I think they definitely could use another probably a relief pitcher. So, but like I said, all we can do is just see what happens in the next 48 hours and, you know, and go from there and kind of reassess the situation when we hit that point.
Right. Yeah. So it'll be very interesting to see that and what they'll come up with, if anything. They did get some in-house bullpen help. Caleb Thielbar's back from injury, finally. Didn't pitch today, but that was more because of the situation in the ballgame than obviously if he's activated, he's available. The bad part is that Alex Kirilloff is apparently got a shoulder strain, so he was put on the injured list. So he's down for the next week and a half, at the very least. So that's too bad because he was just showing what he could do.
And it was just what, the 10 day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not too terribly worried about it. I think it's just going to be kind of more of a, you know, cautionary deal, you know. I mean, it's good to have Thielbar back. You know, I'm glad he is back, you know, that way that way we don't have to rely on Moran so much in some of these situations where we need some left-handed pitching. Yeah, because Moran's been kind of knocked around a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully Philbar, you know, goes out there and kind of hopefully picks up where he left off before he got hurt. So,
yeah. Another nice sign of life this weekend. Two in Byron Buxton's life. he became a father for the third time this week. His wife gave birth to another son. Didn't write down the name, but anyway, so he missed the Seattle series because he was on the paternity list. But he came back while they were in Kansas City, and he's been on fire since becoming a new dad. He's been a doubles machine. On Saturday, for example, he hit three doubles in the game. It's the first time he's ever done that. So it's just nice to see that he's hitting, making contact one and hard contact and hitting line drives instead of trying to jack balls into the stratosphere.
You're welcome. That's what I was talking about last week. You know, yep. He just needs to, not saying he listened to me or nothing, you know, but yeah. It, you know.
Oh, you I don't mean, talk? Just,
no, we don't. We don't chat. He's like the cactus in my bathroom. We have nothing to say to each other. So, no, I mean, it's good. This is exactly what, you know, that we want to see out of him. You know, the long balls are nice. Yes, I get it. But, I mean, you know, go, but, you know, just get some singles, get some doubles, get on base. I mean, do what you can. You know, this is what you were, you know, when you came into this league. And it's just like he forgot about it. I mean, and hopefully it's I'm not going to hold my breath that this is going to be a new consistent Byron Buxton. But, I mean, this is kind of what I've been trying to get at. You know, and hoping that he would go back to and what we see. You know, it's nice. Yeah. I enjoyed it. You know, I'm sure other people were like, you know, it was kind of refreshing to see that out of him. And, you know, now, like I said, can he consistently do it? That's the question.
Be a huge boost if he can do that for the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Any semblance of that. Because, you know. Nobody wants to do it more than he does, but definitely would help this team immensely. Beyond, you know, if he definitely, and especially, of course, like we keep harping on, if he's not going to be playing the field anytime this year, we need him to do that. Get some doubles and get on base and be at least a distraction to that pitcher that you might take off and steal some bases. Now you said you didn't see this, but I did want to bring it up just because Twins Nation was in an uproar on Saturday, as they should have been, for a mistake that Willie Castro made on Saturday night. I believe it was in the seventh inning. He's on base. There's one out. He's on second base. The guy, I don't remember the hitter, but he hit basically a routine fly ball to center field. And it was shallow enough where, you know, you're like, well, shoot. But he's still in scoring position, you know, for the next guy if he can get a hit. But all of a sudden, Willie decides he thinks he can make it to third and thrown out, ending a potential rally. Just stuff like that gets under my skin when you guys, you know, like, have a little awareness. You're fast. You don't need to get to third in that situation. You're going to score on a single.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's those are the kind of mistakes you should be making, you know, like in Little League and, you know, maybe some high school leagues. And you know, maybe if you're an adult, you know, maybe playing some beer league softball, you know, you should be making those kind of mistakes. But, you know, I've made them. I'll be the first one to admit I've done that a couple times. Thought it was a little deeper than, you know, it wasn't as deep as I thought it was. And I tried to go to from second to third, and, you know, and I'm out by about 10 feet, you know, because I'm not very quick. But I mean, you know, I can get around the bases, and, you know, but it's just, yeah, you know, it was a dumb move, you know, and yeah, it was definitely, he was already in scoring position, and there was no reason to do that. So, like I said, if it would have been probably a deeper hit, I mean, by all means, go ahead and maybe make that, you know, try that. So, but yeah, obviously, sure. It's yeah, not, did. Obviously, it wasn't Watkins that sent him, apparently.
No, that was Willie's idea. All by himself. I'm sure Tommy Watkins, when he got to third base, was like, what the bleep was that? I'm guessing that Tommy and Rocco were not thrilled with that decision. And I don't know, an older school manager probably may have been upset enough where he might have been taken out of the game immediately for pulling that one. You know, but just, you know, this guy's been playing so good for us this year. Just to see him make a big mistake like that, just like, dude, you've been so good. Now, why you can't get brain cramps now?
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
kind of not really breaking news here, but okay. They've released the two teams that have showed interest in Larnach. I don't know if you knew who they were.
I haven't.
It sounded like the Padres and the Mets are interested in Larnach.
Oh, you know what? I did see that.
It just popped up here a minute ago on Twitter on trade rumors. So I kind of like that. There's definitely. Padres might have a guy or two, you know, that especially right-handed hitters that could maybe help. And I think the Mets do too. I think one of the guys on the Mets was on my list. So,
okay. Does it not, you know, I don't know who they would be able to get back, but maybe.
Not sure. I mean,
I'm not too up on minor leaguers on other teams, so I'm guessing that's what it would be, is like prospects.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking like, you know, like a trade package that would include, you know, Tommy Pham or Mark Kania or reliever Brooks Rainey. You know, they were talking about those three names. No, that's kind of interesting.
Tommy Pham's he's someone most fans probably have heard of. He's been around with the Cardinals for a long time and the Mets now. And he'd be a right-handed outfielder. The Twins could definitely use that. So that trade would make sense if they did that, and then the Mets would get a building block. Or is Tam Pham is on the Mets now, right? Not. So I think he played for the Padres too.
But. Yeah, he did. He's on the Mets. So, and it isn't giving me any names for the Padres of who they'd be interested in possibly sending us. So, so there you go. I mean, there's a couple teams that are interested in Larnach that I think could send us something good. So I'm kind of curious on what can happen with that. So.
Yeah, we'll see if anything does happen. and just what this front office will do when put to the test again. They were one thing you can say about them that you couldn't say about previous regimes is they have been pretty aggressive in going after needs. Just unfortunately, a lot of the things they've come up with haven't worked out all that great. When we think of like the Tyler Mahle trade and the Jorge Lopez and whoever else we got in that trade, that didn't work. But you also got to remember they got a Sonny Gray, they got us, just a lot of they did. Get us a lot of good players, and they tried to get us what they thought was a good player in Josh Donaldson, and they just unfortunately were able to beat. They were the team that confirmed that Josh is pretty much done.
He is definitely kind of falling off. I mean, he's older. I mean, Twins had him when he was what, 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was older then. He's obviously older, gotten a lot older, and his game has kind of fallen off, but obviously his personality isn't, so.
And I think he's done for the season now. He had another issue with a calf, and I think his season with the Yankees is over, so.
Yeah, so.
Everybody cry for the Yankees. No, yeah, please don't. No.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I mean, it kind of stinks, I mean, a lot of people don't like him, personally, but, he is a good player. He hasn't been recently, but, hopefully he kind of doesn't go out this way, but it's hard to say.
Yeah. It certainly looks like he could, but, I think he's like 37 now, so he's near the end the way it is, no matter what. So whether he decides, I guess I don't even know when his contract's done, but whether he's going to decide himself or teams are not going to want him after his contract's over, which I would guess would be the case. With the condition his legs are in, that he is playing his last days in the majors, no matter where they are and how many more days that is. So kind of covered everything, I think. I know the one stat I saw Aaron Gleeman tweet out is Twins team ERA since the All-Star break's around 5. So that just pinpoints what we've been talking about, how it hasn't been good for the last couple weeks. It's just weird that it would coincide with them finally figuring out how to or find being able to hit. It's just maddening when that's, you've been begging for a team that can hit all season, and then they finally do, and then the pitching. But we've talked about that to death. I don't know. Was there anything else that you thought of or maybe wanted to discuss that I haven't thought of?
There really wasn't much to talk about this week as far as our team because we were just terrible.
I was going to warn everybody, you might hear me swear this week, but I got through it.
trust me, it's frustrating to lose to the Royals. I shouldn't say it's one thing to lose to the Royals, but it's really hard to get swept by the Royals. But, like you and I said before, we mentioned before the podcast, they just outplayed the Twins. They played their best. This is by far their best series they played of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen sometimes. It just sucks it had to be against us. And, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully the Twins can, you know, somehow, you know, come out of this, you know, this week, you know, against the Cardinals. And, you know, hopefully they can at least take a couple games. And then they got, help me out. Who do we got after that?
Arizona.
We have Arizona, which mm-hmm. I know that that's going to be a tough series.
Yeah, they're in the hunt, so they're.
Yep, they're, and I know we face two out of their three pitchers. I know are going to be really good. You know, with Merle Kelly and Zach Gallen, and then you know, then we go to Detroit. You know, which, you know, who knows?
Another team, but another team they need to beat. You know,
yes,
these are games so. That can't. Punt away, and they have at least two or three times now, they including one a series to the Tigers early this year where they inexplicably lost to their last, was it 3 out of 4, or did they get swept by them?
I do not remember,
but I think it was a 3 out of 4 game series that they lost, and then there was the National Series that they somehow managed to screw up a lot.
I was gonna say that was. I still think the Nationals series was more embarrassing than probably this series. So, I mean, the only reason I say that is because at least the Twins were hitting the ball and scoring some runs. Other than today, obviously only one run, but they did hit the ball. But mm-hmm. yeah, that Washington series, that was embarrassing.
Yeah. Yep, it was. So amazingly after all that though, the Twins are still in first place at 54-53, half a game up on Cleveland. And we already talked about it. They play the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks this week. They have tomorrow off and then start series in St. Louis and then is Arizona at home, or is that in Arizona?
That is at home, and then they go to Detroit.
Okay. So that's great because this next Saturday is Joe Mauer's getting inducted into the Twins Hall of Fame. On Saturday night, or during their game, I guess it would be Saturday. I believe it's a night game. So, he's already had his number retired, but now he's going to get into the team Hall of Fame. Going to get a nice, sweet suit jacket, and have to make a speech. Joe's favorite thing to do: talk. So. So congratulations to him. Not a surprise that he is getting this honor. You know, guy who got his number retired already. And next time that there's a Hall of Fame ballot to be voted on, he's going to be on it. So it's been the required 5 years now since he last played. So which. I can't believe that it's already five seasons.
So. I know. I remember watching his last game. So, I mean, it's hard to believe it's been that long already.
Yeah. So good for him. That'll be something to watch. Before the game starts on Saturday night against Arizona. So I think, you know, we've talked about a lot of things here. Short amount of time. I think we covered everything that I thought of to cover, and we'll just, I don't know if you would, you know, Flames do make any moves, maybe we should have discussed this before we started recording, but I don't know if you would want to do a extra show this week if they do make any moves
to talk about that. We'll have to probably discuss that because I don't know what my week's going to look like here. With me returning back to work normal, you know, hopefully under normal, no restrictions and then the house situation. So we'll have to see how that goes. But you know, like I said, we can probably work on something. So.
If that's only if the Twins make a notable enough move, I figured, you know, cause, a lot of podcasts do that. So we'll see. So if something happens, we hopefully can make that happen. Otherwise, we will just plan and just to do our regular new episode next week. For this week, though, I think we will wrap it up and just hope that we are all in better moods because our team played well this week.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, all right. Well, thanks for anybody who has listened. You can, I always forget to mention these things, but you can find us on social media. If you want to contact me personally on Twitter, you can do so at Big Joke Gun. You can drop us a note in our Twitter for the show at Twins Nation Pod if you want to, or just interact with us whenever I tweet something out. I'm usually I'm the guy who's tweeting out everything on that account.
So, and then you can find me at Matt at MDHoffman61 on Twitter.
Yep. And I did create a new Instagram account where you can also find the episodes. That's at Twins Nation Pod on Instagram. And I don't know how long the website will last, but the new one that came out a few weeks ago, Threads, we're also on there at Twins Nation Pod. So anybody who's on any of those, you want to follow us, we'd love for you to do that and just interact with us if you like. I don't know. I guess we could mention this real quick. Just as a fun thing before we do wrap this up once and for all, I did have a thought, so I ran a poll on the Twitter page. You know, there's been a couple teams in the last decade and a half that kind of got, you know, a couple Twin squads that kind of got cool nicknames. A few years ago, we had the Bomba Squad. And then before that, in the early to mid-2000s, we had a team that was named by then White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen as the Piranhas. So I decided to go and ask people, who do you think would win a 7-game series between the Piranhas and the Bomba Squad? And it came out in a close vote. It was 4-3. People think the Bomba Squad would win.
That's interesting. I can't believe I missed that.
It was Monday. I was bored. So
there we go.
But I don't know. I guess I kind of, in my mind, maybe thought it would go the other way just because I believe Johan Santana was on the Piranhas, and so I thought they had the pitching advantage. But still, 4-3, I guess people thought the Bomba Squad would win, and I can definitely see that. I think it would have been, if it was something that could it literally happen, it would have been fun.
yeah, that definitely would have been interesting. So,
but anyway, so I might be doing something, if I can think of questions or something like that, polls, maybe look out for those type of things. But yeah, if anybody who listens to this wants to interact, definitely feel free to do so. We love it if you do. Otherwise, I think we will now shut up and let everybody go. And
all right.
Probably put myself to bed here soon. Everybody, thanks for listening and have a good week, everybody, okay?
Yep. Have a good evening, everyone.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Twins Nation Podcast. You can follow the show on Facebook and on Twitter. On Facebook, just search for Twins Nation Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Twins Nation Pod. And Joe is at Big Joe Gunn.